Good morning. Man, hope and pray everybody is doing well and your new year is off and rolling with great speed, or should I say maybe slowing down. I think slowing down might be the word some of us need, but it is so good to see each and every one of you. Look around, give somebody a wave. Yeah, and if you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to somebody that's there with you. You know, don't just hide in the shadows and in the corners. Be sure to give somebody a nice old howdy. But we're so glad that you're here today, and hope that that things are going great for you in the new year. And I always said it's kind of like starting over. You know, it's nothing real definitive about it, other than it's January 1, but I know that times we make resolutions and whatnot, and that's what we're going to talk about today in the scriptures a little bit, is about a New Year's resolution that needs to be one that we hang on to. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, as we come to you again, we're so grateful and thankful that you've given us this opportunity to be able to come into your house and to be able to worship. Father, we're grateful that where two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst. So, Father, we love you. We thank you that you've given us this opportunity. Help us, Lord, today to be able to put aside the distractions that would hinder us from hearing what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us today. Father, help us to come into your house today with a true sense of anticipation that there's something here for each and every one of us. Lord, through your word, you want to speak to us today. You want to draw us close, and Father, you want to save the lost. So I pray right now, Father, that you would help us to truly be about being diligent to put aside anything that may stop us from doing that. We know that there's a busy day ahead of us. There's a lot of things that that we have to do. And Lord, help that not crowd out the time that we'll spend with you for these few moments as we gather around your word. And Lord, as we lift up our voice in song to you today, may it truly be praise in your presence. As Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Man, I hope everybody is off and rolling with your new year. And I know, like many of us, you probably set out some resolutions. Some of them that you have voiced to other people. Some of them you haven't. And the reason, why is it that when we make a New Year's resolution, we don't like to tell other people about it? Why do you think that is? Because we know that generally we're going to break that New Year's resolution, and to tell somebody would offer some accountability along the way, and we don't want to fail, of course. So therefore, a lot of times we'll sit back and say, this is what I want to do. Now, I'm not going to say anything to anybody about it, which means that there's not a whole lot of accountability on there. So you don't feel like you have to run and hide when you break that New Year's resolution. Now, I'm not going to ask you what it is, but how many of you all in some way, shape, form, or fashion, whether spoken or unspoken, made some sort of a New Year's resolution? You said to yourself, I want to do A, B, or C, or what have you. Okay, we have a few honest folks in here. I'm not going to ask you. Like I said, I'm not going to ask you what it is. But at any rate, we always look at the new year as a new opportunity. It's not like there's something just magical that happened at the stroke of midnight on the 31st that led us into the first. But what it is it's more like a time and a place where we draw a line in the sand and we'll say, here's where I'm going to start. You know, most of us, a lot of times, coming out of Thanksgiving and then into Christmas, we have decided that we've had to loosen our belt a loop or two or a notch or two or buy a new belt, whatever the case may be for you. And then what we do is we say, well, I'll tell you what, the first of the year, I'm going to start doing something about that. And the reason you do that is because you know you still haven't been through Christmas and all the good food yet. So you say, I'm going to start that on the first of the year. Well, there are some resolutions that each and every one of us need to make, but not like a New Year's resolution where we wind up breaking it a few days or a few weeks afterwards. If you've got your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Philippians chapter 3. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. And I like what Dennis said last week. You know, see, I was tuned in, you know, even though I was out of town, I was still tuned in. But man, listen, I'm that kind of a guy. Now, I use actually an electronic device up here, and the reason I do that is because my eyes aren't what they used to be, and I can blow that print up beyond what large print really is. But when I do my Bible study, I like to have my Bible in my hand. There's just something about it. It's like this thing's like Old Faithful. It's got notes in it. It's like an old dish rag, but there's just something about being able to have that Bible, you know, with me to read those pages, to write and so forth in it. I don't have a whole lot written in my Bible electronically, but I got a whole bunch written in my Bible on pages. Sometimes you have to read it like this and turn it around to see what's going on with it. But in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at a New Year's resolution that each and every one of us not only should take part in, but one that we should make sure that doesn't just play out in a day or two or a week or two or a month or two. Someone had wisely pointed out that one of the most dangerous forms of human error is forgetting what we're trying to achieve. Have you ever found yourself in that position? You set off to do something. You had a plan. And then all of a sudden, all these other things start rushing in. And then what happens is somewhere down the road, you get to the point and somebody goes, time out for a minute. What are we doing? You ever been there? Why are we doing this? What was what did we initially set out to do? And then at some point, you realize that you're nowhere near on track or on target for what you initially set out to do. Now think about that for a minute. Remember that statement. One of the most dangerous forms of human error is forgetting what one is trying to achieve. What are we trying to achieve personally? What are we trying to achieve personally on the spiritual level? What are we trying to achieve personally on a church corporate level? What are we trying to achieve even in our jobs? Most of us have sat back at some point or the other and said, we are so far off track, we've got to to right this ship. We've got to straighten it up. And for a lot of people, when the clock struck midnight on the 31st, leading us into January the 1st, some of those things were on the forefront of your mind. And some of those were the things that you resolved, that here's my line in the sand. I want to make a difference. I want to see something different. I need to refocus. I need to get my life back on track. I need to get my job back on track. I need to get whatever on track. Now, I'm going to give you a series of verses out of Philippians chapter 3, but there's one that I want us to particularly deal with because it is the key to each and everything actually taking place in making our life better. Look with me, if you would, Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 says, "But what things were gained to me that I have counted loss for Christ? Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Now pay careful attention to verses 10 and 11, okay? "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity. Lord, today is a new start for so many folks. And Lord, even if they're not viewing it in that regard, today is a new day. You have blessed us. This truly is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, nothing is too late as long as there is life and breath. And I pray that, Lord, you would help each and every one of us to hear what you have for each of us in life today. Lord, may we hear from your Holy Spirit more loudly and clearly than we ever have. And then, Lord, we pray that you will give us the courage and the strength to react upon what it is that you show us in each and every one of our individual hearts and lives. For, Lord, you have a tailor-made message for us. May we not leave this place the same way that we came in. Lord, may we leave this place differently than before. So, Lord, I pray that for these few moments that you would bless this, your messenger, that you would be high and lifted up, that you might draw all men unto yourself, as though we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, notice what I said when we looked at that verse 10. I believe, honestly, this is the key to everything. Verse 10 says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." When we think about the spiritual life, when we think about being a Christian, what is it that God wants from us? What is it that he wants to do? Now, I know that as I look out across this room, I know that there are many folks that have varied talents and abilities, and I know that even as we look around, we see those that use their talents and abilities for the Lord. Even today, as Vicky played, as Brad led, as folks greeted one another, we all have something that we can use for the Lord. And I think that what happens so often is we are so busy working at being a Christian that we are not being a Christian. Now, what does that mean? Being a Christian means to be Christ-like. If you think about what that means in and of itself, that is huge. What is our job? As a believer, what is our job? Now, I'm not talking about what specific talent or ability. That's another message for another day. But what is required of every believing person? And when you look at verse 10, it tells us that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That is your marching order. That I may know him. Now, a lot of us, for some people today that are listening to this message, that's almost a relief. Because you're sitting back going, "Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I promised God 10 years ago I was going to keep that nursery, and I did it for 2 weeks, and I felt guilty about it ever since." We make deals with God, don't we? "Lord, if you get me out of this, I promise I won't miss church for the whole year." Or, "Lord, I'll teach that Sunday school class." Or, "Lord, I'll sing in the choir." okay? Now, if you're like I am, I'm not going to make the promise I'm going to sing in the choir because that wouldn't happen. Brad might kindly ask me to step aside because everybody else would be looking at me like, what is up with this guy? That's not my talent or ability. But here's what I want you to know today. And if you started off on the wrong foot, here's a really good start. What God wants from you today is for you to know him. Period. And a lot of people would say, well, wait a minute. The Bible also says this and that and that we need to work. Yeah, but let me make you this promise. And I can make this promise because the Lord gives us this promise in his word. If you spend the time getting to know him, the rest of the stuff is going to take care of itself. The service will take care of itself. What God wants you to do will come naturally. It will flow from you. It will flow from your heart. And it won't be a chore. It won't be, you know, some sort of here we go, it's Sunday, I need to go to church. You won't be like, choir practice at 5 o'clock. No, it won't be like that. It will be the joy of your life as you come to know our Lord and Savior, as you draw close. So what is the goal of the Christian life? If we forget it, we're not likely to achieve it. We've never done better than when we've tried, right? How many of you all understand what I'm saying? When you have found yourself at some place in life where you paused for just a moment, and whether it was your job, whether it was something personal, whether it was something family, and you thought for just a moment, here's why or what we started out to do and why we started out to do it, and we ain't nowhere near it. How many of y'all have ever done that before? That thing took on a whole new life of its own. It became something that it totally wasn't supposed to be, and it was so far off of what the original intent was. Listen, here's the thing. It can become that way in your spiritual life as well. So what I want to ask you as we begin a new year, how are you doing in your personal relationship with God? Take out the services. Take out the functioning of what we're doing here today. And I'm asking you, how is your personal one-on-one relationship with the Father? You see, the goal of the Christian life is to know Christ and to be like him. That's it. That's what it is. To know him and to be like him. And people would sit back and say, well, what about all these things that the Lord tells us we should do in his word? If you are like him, you are going to accomplish those things. Well, what about service? If you are like him, you will accomplish those things. See, I like the KISS method. Keep it simple. Okay? Keep it simple. Roy, your job is to get to know me on an intimate level. Our goal is to know him. Our goal is to become like him. Now, Christianity is primarily a growing relationship with the infinite God who has revealed himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as with all relationships, it begins with an initial meeting or introduction. You know, that's most, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, how many times has somebody, at some point in your life, you were introduced in some way, shape, form, or fashion to your best friend? Some of you grew up with them, maybe in school, maybe elementary school. You've grown all the way through, and you're best friends. Maybe some of you had friends from the high school days, whatever. Maybe. But at some point, you had to be introduced to that person. You did not come out of the womb knowing all the people that you know right now, correct? You had to meet them at some point, in some way, in some shape, form, or fashion, okay? It all began with an introduction. Now, in the case of the Apostle Paul that we read about in the Bible, this was not something that was planned. This was not something that was some sort of a polite introduction. It wasn't where God said, you know, hey, Paul, this is God. God, this is Paul. No, it wasn't anything like that. Most of us know and remember the story. In fact, Paul was one of the greatest persecutors of the Christian people that there were. And along his path, particularly on the road to Damascus, he met the Lord. How many of y'all remember that passage or heard it or been to Bible school or something? You've heard it. You know what's taking place. You know what's going on. At that particular point, Paul, who was Saul at the time, met the Lord. That was the introduction. It wasn't where he said, ooh, I've been hearing some really good stuff about this guy. Let's go find out about it. In fact, he didn't even care to meet him. He was completely opposed to the Christian people, all right? And from his vantage point, he didn't want to have anything. He wasn't seeking after Christ. He wasn't inquiring how he could become a Christian. Far from it. Matter of fact, he was breathing threats of murder. The Christian people were essentially afraid of him. He had court documents that said that he had the right to take those honoring and abiding by Christianity into custody. Yeah, and he was on his way to Damascus to arrest men and women who were followers of Jesus when suddenly a light from heaven fell upon him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard the voice of God saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Remember what he answered? Who are you? Who are you, Lord? I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but even I think I could have put two and two together at that point. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? Well, duh, who are you persecuting? You're persecuting my people. You are, and therefore you are persecuting me. Who are you, Lord? And what did he say to him? He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. If you want to jot this note in your Bible, that's Acts 9, 1 through 6 gives you those particular passages. He said, it is I, it is me, it is the Lord, the one that you are persecuting. Now, as we're thinking about relationships, if we went around the room and I were to ask husbands and wives to tell us, how you met one another, we would hear all kinds of different stories, wouldn't we? I actually like doing that, talking to people and say, well, how'd you guys meet? Well, and the funny ones are like, you know what? I couldn't stand him when I first met him. How many of y'all have a story like that? Well, we were just not friends at all, but he was just so persistent. He wore me down and we wound up getting married. Lonnie, amen, right? There you go. Amen, brother. Way to stick with it. You done good. But you'd hear all kinds of stories. You would hear stories of how people met. We met in school. Well, we met in college. Yeah, we met on a date, And for a lot of you, you are sitting back thinking of some pretty fond memories right now. Some of y'all are sitting there going, oh, man, that was a chore. That was work. That was an effort. Some met as teenagers. Others, it was further along in life. Some are looking for a soulmate at the time that you met your significant others. Others weren't looking at all. How many of y'all met your spouse and you weren't even looking for them? See, look, there's a lot of hands going up. By the way, that tells you something else about God's providence, doesn't it? If he's the plan he has for your life, he is going to bring about in your life. Some met, but things didn't quite develop, and it took maybe several months or several years for that relationship to develop, and then it took off like a rocket ship. Some, it was love at first sight, and it's lasted that long. Maybe the friendship that led into romance. But for every single one of you, you began a personal relationship with your spouse, because of it, your life took on a new direction that would never have taken if you hadn't met. Right? That meeting, that relationship changed you. For some, it changed your direction in life. For some, it changed your geographic location. For some of you, it changed everything about your life. That meeting. Now, If you're the slightest bit spiritual, can you understand where I'm going with this? When you meet Jesus, your life changes. Yeah, there's that introduction. By the way, guess what we're doing here today? I want to introduce you to the old boy. I want you to meet him. Now, there's nothing magical about coming down front at an invitation. Yes, we're old-fashioned around here. There's nothing that's something magical or special about meeting him right here. Man, some people, how many of y'all did not come to know the Lord in a church service or at an invitation? You came to know the Lord someplace else. Look around. There's hands that are up. Maybe the Lord got your attention. Some of you, God had to knock on your posterior, and he got your attention, and you met him, and life began with him. It's the same in a relationship with Christ. Your introduction to the Lord may have been far different than Paul's that we were discussing here just a moment ago. You may have met Christ as a young child. You might have been raised in a Christian home, or you may have met him later on in life. But for some of you, it may have been some traumatic situation that brought you to your knees, that caused you to turn to the Lord. It may have been some crisis in your life, and it may have been less dramatic. So much that you can't even recall the exact time or place. But one thing is for certain, and the thing that's certain is this, that if you are truly a Christian, you know Jesus Christ personally. Personally. You don't just know about him. Now, I can't preach hard enough on this. You see, you can say with Paul that he is Christ Jesus, my Lord. There's a lot of people that I'm afraid know about Jesus that don't know Jesus. I could probably pass a test if you gave me one on the life of Billy Graham because I read the autobiography. I could probably tell you stories. I could probably make you think that he and I were pals, that we hung out together and that we spent time together. But the real question is, did I ever know Billy Graham? No. I never got a chance to meet him personally, although that would have been probably a highlight of my life. But I know a lot about him and never ever had the chance to know him. There are people today, there are people sitting in church pews today that know a lot about Jesus and can pass the test, but do not know him. Are those scary words? Are those words that should move us to action, that should create within each and every one of us a burden for other people? It should. Because, folks, I believe wholeheartedly what the Bible says when it says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. I believe what it says when it says two will be walking up a hill, one will disappear, and the other will be left. I believe that 50% ratio, and I believe that there are people that Satan has fooled so greatly into thinking that they are a born-again believer simply because they are a spiritual person. And that scares me. It scares me for everybody that I know or see or come in contact with. Why does it scare me? Because what I see today in life is people who do not make Christ the primary factor in their life. Jesus is just added on. Other things take the place of Christ. And it shouldn't be that way. See, like any relationship, once you've met, you must cultivate that relationship. How do you cultivate a relationship? Working at it. How do you work at it? You got to spend time together. That's how you cultivate a relationship. See, if you meet the girl of your dreams, guys, but you never see her again, you don't have a relationship with her. Duh! Oh, isn't she beautiful? What's her name?
I don't know.
Where does she live?
Can't tell you.
What does she like?
Huh?
Do you know her?
No. But she's the girl of my dreams.
Listen, man, you got to be like Lonnie. You got to wear them down, don't you? Yeah. You got to wear each other down. You got to spend time together. You've got to cultivate that relationship. And the only way that you can do that is to spend time with that person. And you know what the really cool part about it is? It's not a chore, is it? I love watching young people in love. That's fun. Yeah. But by the way that you cultivate your relationship with Christ is you spend time with Him. And He desperately wants you to do that. It is going to require time. And it never ceases to amaze me how a young man and a young woman can be extremely busy, but when they meet and things begin to click between them, suddenly they can find hours upon hours to spend together. And all God's children said, it's amazing how that changes, isn't it? Hey man, come on, let's go. Let's all go to the ball game. I can't make it tonight. What do you mean you can't make it tonight? Man, we've been going to the ball games on Friday night for years and years and years. What are you doing?
Well, I'm going out with her.
Her. That's all I hear anymore. Her. You're ditching the guys. Girls, it's the same way with you, isn't it? You're spending way too much time with him. You're just neglecting us. You see, now here's the thing. You don't do that because you have to, right? You do that because you want to. You know what? You have chosen today to spend time with the Lord because you chose to be here today. You have chosen that Christ is important, and you have chosen that you want to get to know Him better. I know that probably some of you have had a friend that's ditched you after time, and I'm not just saying for a girl or what have you, but you know that feeling that you get, that hurt that is in your life when that person willfully chooses to disconnect from you. You've had a friend walk away from you. You've had them leave you in a point where you were just devastated because you never, ever thought that that would happen. Remember how you feel? Remember how you felt when that happened? How do you think Jesus feels when we choose everything over Him? Well, Lord, this is more important. That's more important. Being here is more important. Being there is more important. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not just preaching about church on Sunday. I'm talking about your personal quiet time with Him. But I am preaching about church on Sunday because it's important. And I'm not going to make an apology for it. When you love the Lord, you want to spend time with Him. You want to spend time with Him in the Sunday school class. You want to spend time with Him during preaching. You want to spend time with Him serving Him through choir or serving Him. You want to spend time with the little kids in Awana that we have a chance to mold their life before this world tries to chew them up and spit them out. And yet, what do we do oftentimes? Nah, got better things to do. Well, let me make you a promise. All the stuff in your life is going to pass away. All of it. Did you hear me? All of it. All the money, all the entertainment, all the things that we are investing our lives in are going to disappear for all of eternity. And only the things that are done for the Lord are the things that will last through all of eternity.
And last time I checked, my feeble mind cannot even wrap around what eternity really is. Remember, the Word tells us, let's go to the Word. The Word tells us that life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away. I don't care if you live to be 200 years old. That's one grain of sand on every beach in the sea that would have to be counted out, and then you'd have to start all over again and keep on going. Where are you storing up your treasures? What is important? Are we spending time cultivating the relationship with Jesus? Now, first of all, I got to ask you if you have one. Think about that. Think about that young couple that's spending all these hours together now. What were they doing to fill those hours before that? Whatever it was, it gets shoved aside so that they can pursue this new relationship that they have with one another. What's being pushed aside for you to pursue Christ? Because let me make you this promise. Satan will make you busy. And it's not with the bad stuff. Satan will make you busy with good stuff, doesn't he? Have you ever been in a position before where you were serving the Lord, but you were spending more time serving the Lord than you were worshiping the Lord? You ever been there? And what happened was, even though service is a good thing, service was overriding worship. And you know what the Lord says? I don't want that. Oh, but Lord, if I don't do this, who will? God's like, I think I got it covered. Last time I checked, he don't need my help. He can go, and all is right with the world. Do you often make time to spend with the Lord? Do you take the time to get into this every day? And I'm not talking about adding it on. I am talking about an appointment. Y'all know what an appointment is? An appointment is that thing that you get mad when somebody breaks because you scheduled it with them. See, like the doctor's office. The doctor's office wants you to make an appointment, don't they? Yeah. And then you're sitting there going, well, my appointment was at 10 o'clock and it's 10:45. My time is valuable. You should respect my time. I'm that way. Why is it okay for us to break appointments with God or not give undivided attention? When I'm in the doctor's office, I don't want my doctor multitasking. How about you? I don't want him talking about another patient or telling his nurse what needs to happen to another patient. I'm in that little tiny room. This is my time. I've waited for it. I'm paying for it. Give me my time. Let me tell you something, folks. God is jumping up and down right now saying, when are you going to give me your time? He wants to get to know you. Have you ever been in a situation where you wanted to get to know somebody, but you were struggling doing that because of not being able to have a little FaceTime together or not being able to chat with them or what have you? And you're like, man, I tell you, that person's hard to get to know. God wants to know you intimately. And how many of us is God saying, that person is hard to get to know because they don't seem to want to spend any time with me? Or if they do, it's divided time. It's multitasking time. It's not setting a schedule or setting an appointment. It's not sitting back and turning the dad blame cell phone off and getting off of social media long enough to say, Lord, this is my time with you, and I want to meet you in your word today, and I want to meet you in prayer today. This is me and you, mano a mano, and the world can do whatever it wants to. For these few moments, the world can do whatever it wants to. Let me make you a promise that if you spend that time with God, he will honor it. He will honor it. Do you make time to spend with the Lord? It's easy at first. And then sometimes, just like that relationship, you know how love kind of starts to cool off a little bit, and then you don't spend the same amount of time that you used to spend as couples. And then all of a sudden, it's like a task. And I love talking with young married couples, and it seems like a common theme today that they spend all this time together getting to know each other, and then they get married, and they're keeping house, and they've got jobs and everything else. And you know what they say? They're like, I can't seem to find time to spend with my spouse. I'm too busy trying to pay bills and make ends meet and rocking babies and doing this and doing that. We don't have that. You don't have it because you don't make it. You have time for what you make time for. And let me tell you something that's not going to shock any of you. Time is more valuable than money. Because once that time is spent, you can never, ever get it back. See, that goes along with wasting time as well. The question is, what are you going to do about it? What will you do about that? But go back with me to verse 10 again. What's it say? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Ooh, we don't like that part, do we? The fellowship of his suffering? Man, I didn't sign up for that. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Listen, we can't suffer like Jesus suffered for us. But what I'm going to tell you is this, that when you follow him, there's going to be some suffering involved. And what do we always do? We always try to alleviate suffering in our lives. Nobody likes to suffer. Nobody goes, oh, goody, goody, I get to suffer today. No, that's not what it's about. That's not what we want to do. But I will promise you that if you are walking with the Lord, you're going to have some suffering along the way. Those are the things and the trials that stretch our faith. Those are the things that bring us close to him. Those are the things that lead us to him, to cry on his shoulder. Those are the things that make us rely on God when we flat out can't do it. And when we're on our back and the only place that we can look is up and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to deliver me. And man, let me tell you something. God loves to show up in ways like that, doesn't he? Wow. Lord, I can't do it anymore. God said, are you done with it? If you give it to me, I got it. I got you. I'll take care of it. That I may know him. Are you striving to know him in this new year? Or is it business as usual? Are we sitting back saying, oh, okay, well, okay, sarah, sarah, here we are again. I spend Sunday at church because that's what I've always done. I do also give you a word of caution. The word of caution is that it is possible to gain knowledge about Christ through studying his word and yet not grow to know Christ himself through his word. We can be mechanical. See, in fact, you can read and study your Bible all your life and never get to know Jesus in an intimate way. Jesus tells us how we can get to know him. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Are you keeping his word? See, if you don't know the word, you neither have nor keep Jesus or his commandments. You can't. But see, it is possible to have them through knowledge, but not to keep them and function on them. If you want Jesus to reveal himself to you, he says that you must both have and keep his commandments. Now, I know a lot of y'all are saying, well, that's impossible. Well, that's what they said in the days of the Bible as well. That's why, thanks be to God, there's forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So the goal of Bible study, the goal of church is always growing obedience so that we can get to know the Lord Jesus better. That's what it's about. When we have the kids tonight at Awana, it's about them coming to know Jesus better. Let me tell you a scary predicament. When I've sat down with somebody and they sit back and I'll say, hey, look, you know, you have come to me with a situation. Now, let me tell you what the Bible says about that situation. The Bible says, and let's just use this one because this one's huge. The Bible says we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. And then you hear somebody say, I'm not doing that. I'm just not doing that. I'm like, that's dangerous territory. Very dangerous territory. Because you know what you've basically just said? I know what the commandment is, but I'm not keeping it. I'm not going to do it. You just leave me alone. I have the right to be this. No, you don't. No, you don't. The goal of the Bible study is always growing obedience so that we can get to know the Lord Jesus better. What's another part of the goal? The other part of the goal is to be like Christ. Ooh, that one stings, doesn't it? You know, when we sit back and we say we can't do that. See, when you first met your future spouse and you fell in love, you got married, and your life was permanently changed, you would never be the same again. It is the same, only much more, when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You will never be the same. He marks your life, and the more time that you spend growing to know Him, and the more you'll find that you become different. The Word begins to sink into you. You know, see, the rest of verses 10 and 11 show the components and the direction of the change that goes along with knowing Christ as our Savior. So I guess my big question for us today is simply this. Is that what our New Year's resolution is? It should be our daily walk. For some of us, we said, you know what, I know I didn't do so well in the past year, but what I want to do is I want to do better this year. That's great. But you're not going to do it in and of yourself. And you're not going to do it unless you purpose to do it. Now, let me tell you something else. When you purpose to do it, it is going to cost you something. It is going to cost you time. It is going to cost you effort. It is going to cost you energy. And it might even cost you money. Are you ready? Are you willing? You know what that verse talks about? I think it's verse 11 that says, or verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. What is fellowship? Now, hey, a good Baptist ought to be able to answer that question right off the bat. The fellowship of His suffering. Fellowship points to the closeness or intimacy. Though few of us American Christians know it, those who suffer because of their faith in Christ know a very special intimacy with Him. We've seen this on our mission trips to Cuba. Man, I'm going to tell you one thing. There's something different about those folks. They have suffered. We don't suffer around here for Jesus. But, I mean, when the government's chasing you down and shutting you down and incarcerating you and putting you into prison because of your faith, there's something different about a church meeting in Cuba than it is here. I wish I could take every last one of you there to see it. I wish you could experience it. Because let me tell you, that's a different kind of fellowship. It's a true fellowship. Think about when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace for refusing to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. And he looked and he saw not three men, but four walking in the fire. The Lord was with them. The question is, do we have enough intimacy in our relationship with the Lord that we would truly say, you know what? Stoke up the furnace, because here I come. Do you have enough faith to let God deliver you? Do you know him that good that you can introduce him as your friend, your God? Hey, folks, let me tell you what I'm here today to tell you about. I'm here to tell you about my friend, my buddy that sticks closer than a brother, Jesus Christ. How many of y'all want to get to know him? He's available. He's signing books. Oh, and here's the cool part. He wants to hang out with you. You got an all-access backstage pass to the Father through Jesus the Son. Would you use it? So that's our goal. Our goal is to know Jesus Christ and to become more like him. Is that your goal? Is that what it really, really is? If you'll set before yourself each week this goal, to know Christ and to be like him, then you will see opportunities all over the place to apply it. You know, once you get it in here and it trickles down to your heart, it has to be applied. What good is it if you don't apply it to your life? You're going to have temptations where you're going to need to rely on the power of his resurrection. You're going to face trials where you come to know the fellowship of his suffering, and you will encounter irritations where you must learn to be more conformed to his death. Are you ready for that? Well, when those things happen, you need to view those things as opportunities to know Christ, and let those opportunities remind you that it is preparing you for a great day when he comes, and when he will be raised from glory, all those who will spend eternity with him. Do you know him? That's my first question. My second question is, how good do you know him? Let's go back to that one more time. Verses 10 and 11 says this: that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Let me just say this as I close this out today. The gospel doesn't need fluff and stuff. It doesn't. The gospel stands on its own. You can take away everything. You can take away the lights, the sound, the carpet, the heat, the air. You can take it all away, and the gospel is still self-sufficient. It is all that we need. That I personally may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Whew. That's pretty deep, isn't it? That should hit us pretty hard where it matters. In the grand scheme of things, how did we do in 2022? Now, I ask that because in that same passage, just a little bit further down, here's the cool part. He says, forgetting the things that are behind us and striving for the things that are in front of us, I press towards the mark for the high calling of the Lord. You can't change what happened in 2022, but 2023 is a new start. It can change today. Do you want to get to know him? First of all, do you know him? Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to come forward as we prepare for our time of invitation. My first question is, do you know him? Have you been in church all your life? Have you been a religious person, but you have no idea? You have head knowledge. You know a lot about Jesus, but you don't know him. You don't know him personally. Don't let Satan keep you from making the most important decision of your entire eternity. I didn't say your life, I said your eternity. I believe there's too many people that are going to go to hell from a church pew because they were deceived by Satan. Don't be one of them. The Lord is knocking on your heart's door today.
And listen, if he is, I'm just simply going to ask you to stop what you're doing right now, whether you're part of our online audience or whether you're here, and just simply say, Lord, I confess today that I am a sinner. I need you, my Savior. Save my soul and help me to live for you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, if you did that and you meant it with all your heart at that point, you have the introduction has been made. I have said, so-and-so, Jesus. Jesus, so-and-so. And you guys have shaken hands. But that's not going to build your relationship. There comes a point in the time where you have to do those things. You have to make the time. I loved it in the years ago, probably two decades ago, David was talking. I have used this illustration over and over again because every time I think about it, it reminds me that David said, you know, when a little lamb, you see the shepherd, and the shepherd's feeding that little lamb a bottle. Isn't that sweet and cute? And that little lamb just drinking that milk away. And David said, but I've never seen a 500-pound sheep sitting on a shepherd's lap with that shepherd shoving grass down his throat. No, at some point, it gets to the point where he goes out and eats on his own. Folks, you need to cultivate the relationship. I've told you before, don't you ever, ever say, I believe this because Preacher Roy said that. That is not good enough. You need to say, I believe it because thus saith the Lord God, chapter and verse. Here's what it says, because man is fallible. My preacher said, I don't care what your preacher said. What does the Word of God say? Now, that's fine if what your preacher said lines up with the Word of God, but you better be referencing the Word of God, not your preacher. Okay, I'm stopping. I'm preaching again. Have you trusted Jesus, number one? And number two, if you have, are you cultivating the relationship? The ball is in your court. Remember this song we sing? Yeah, we're old-fashioned around here, but softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. He's not going to force his way into your life. But I will promise that he makes himself available when you make yourself available to him. Will you do that as a challenge in 2023? That you're going to set appointments with God to get to know him better. Because you see, when we do, and it trickles from our head to our heart, and we apply it to our life, you will see a change not only in your life, you will see a change in your church, and your church can change the community, and the community can change the state, and the state can change the nation, and the nation can change the world. So it all started with 12, didn't it? What will it be for you? I've said before, if you've got business you need to do with the Lord, then do it now. This is a time of invitation, not my invitation, it's the Lord's invitation, making himself available to you. If you need the altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. Whatever you need to do, do that business with God today as we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn. Brett? Your heads are bowed. As you do business with God, the Holy Spirit hasn't delayed. He's been speaking to you this whole time. What will you do with what the Lord has spoken into your heart today? It's a personal decision. It is something that you must do on your own. Nobody can do it for you. Will you open your heart and your life to Him? Make today a new day as you follow Him. As Vicky continues to play, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would to make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. Our Father, you are so good to us, and each and everything that we have, we owe to you. All good things come from the Father's hand. Now, Lord, as we come to this time where we continue to worship by returning to you the tithe and the offering, I pray that we might truly be found faithful, that we can be trusted with what it is that you've already so blessed us with. Lord, I pray that you will help us as a church to be good stewards of the resources that belong to you, that we might use them, that others may truly come to know you. So, Lord, we ask that you would bless the gift and the giver as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. What a good one. Just a couple things, and we'll get you on out of here. This week, birthdays. Katie Nelson will be celebrating a birthday on Tuesday, and Misty Logan will be celebrating a birthday on Saturday. So if you get a chance, have opportunities, give them a hard time. Also, don't forget Tuesday the 10th, which is coming up this coming Tuesday. Yeah, come to the blood drive. Tell her happy birthday. Katie runs our blood drive, so if you can donate an arm or some assistance, see Katie. That's her up here on the front row. Does such a fantastic job coordinating the blood drives that we have here through Central Baptist. So do continue to remember that as you have opportunity. And then also the Lottie Moon Post Office is in the Sanctuary Narthex out there. That's where, you know, people put the Christmas cards and everything else. And like I say, to prove that I was tuned in last week while I was out of town, David said that what's going to happen is if you don't go by there and pick your cards up, then me and him and Brad are going to open them all up. And if there's any gift cards or cash or anything in there, we're just going to enjoy all of that. Be sure to do that, because we'll also, at the end of this month, we'll be putting the year-end statements of giving in those boxes as well. So it is in the Narthex right there. As you go out, stop by, see if there's any cards there under your last name. Choir practice, 5 o'clock. Bible study here at 6 o'clock. Awana also starts back up. We're coming off of Christmas, 5:30 today. And then next Sunday at 3:30, the Building and Grounds team will have a meeting in the choir room of the Family Life Center next door. And as always, we have the men's fellowship breakfast at 10 a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. So if you could join the guys over there, you'll have a wonderful, wonderful time. Don't miss out on that. Also, keep in your prayers Rudy and the fact that she lost her brother this past week. We've been praying for Jerry. Jerry is home with the Lord now. And then also want to keep Donna in our prayers as she had that surgical implant, the electronic implant, to see if that's going to help her with her pain. I'll let David give you a little report on that as David comes up, tells us anything I've completely forgotten, and then dismisses us in prayer.
I do want to thank you for praying for Donna. She's doing better. She was almost good enough to get here today, but not quite. But hopefully she'll be back next week. She has that. She's learning to control it. Jeff knows something about that. You get to control your own electrical impulses. I told her I wanted that remote control. I could have a lot of fun with that, I think. But I thank you for praying for her. She's doing well. It is a process, and she's working through the process. But thank you for your prayers. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house. Lord, what an opportunity it is for us to just come and worship you, spend time with you. Lord, help us in this new year to spend more time with you as we do it here, as we do it at home, as we do it even riding down the road. God, help us to have that fellowship, that constant attitude of prayer and worship and fellowship with you, that we might get to know you so well that there will never be a question that we know you cannot answer for us. Bless us as we go our way today. Lord, bring us back tonight to be involved in ministry and study your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.